Good to see everybody tonight, and it's been a great day for us. We're not used to that motel living, and we appreciate it. It's going to spoil us. I like one of the kids saying, what are we going to do when we get back home? We don't have a maid. One of the kids said, if we call down there, will they bring our breakfast to us? I mean, you lazy little rascal, get down there and eat it, man. They're giving it to you. It's been great. I told the lady at the desk, you know, we wanted to try to be out of the room by noon. And hey, when you run this many wild Indians through the shower, try to get them to do 4 or 5 pages in every subject in their schoolwork. Keep your sanity. Fix your hair. Figure out what God wants you to preach tonight. Pray. Hey, you could have a bad hair day easy. And at 12 o'clock, I told the lady down at the desk when we ate breakfast, I said, you know, hey, we're going to try to be out of there by noon. Well, maybe the maid, if you want to, you know, run through there, the vacuum's going to more like run through with a bulldozer, you know, and clean her up or whatever she has to do. And sure enough, at 12 o'clock, somebody's beating on the door. I was oblivious to time. I'm dressed. I've got a shower. Some of them's in there fixing their hair. Some of them's putting paint on. You know, all the routine things. Somebody's over in the corner studying. Somebody's begging for mercy. Somebody's hollering uncle. And there's somebody knocking on the door. You know, you couldn't hardly hear. Just like that. And Bethany says, Dad, somebody's at the door. I jerk that door open. I got a notebook and I'm writing down, you know, and she looked at me and I looked at her. And she says, when can I clean your room? I said, well, she said, you were going to be gone by noon. I said, man, we're not going to make it till 1. And she took a look in that room and she wilted. You know, oh, look at that. So we cleaned it first. And then we got out of there. And I called Brother Art and said, I got to get out of here. They want in. But anyway, we got it all worked out. One trip to the front desk with my wife, and it was all taken care of. I love a woman with a mission. This is the 90s, the year of the woman. Yeah, Hillary Ramrod Clinton, she... Am I in trouble yet? I better not get on that. I left all my political messages at home. This radio broadcast is killing me. I read what Rush says, and I read what Don Wildman puts out, and by the time I read them both, and I got one over the other, and I cancel it out by, and then cross it up with the Word of God, it's hard telling what happens on the radio. But an old Nazarene lady called me one morning. I don't know what I was preaching on. I can't remember. Do you remember what it was? Something radical. I don't know. You know, when you're preaching to a microphone, a little cubicle, you can tear it up. I mean, people say, how do you preach to nobody? Oh, it's easier. It's easier. Nobody looking at you. I mean, and she called and she said, oh, Brother Gavin, she said, you know, we just, we really praying for you. And she's an old lady. She lives down on the hill, and she called me and said she listened to broadcasts and prays and old Nazarene lady. I remember when I first moved to that area, the first guy to my door was a Nazarene preacher. I got some respect for that. I mean, I'm glad it wasn't the JWs or the Mormons or somebody else, but it was him, and he wanted to know if we knew the Lord and if we went to church any place. And I said, yes, you know, I'm a preacher, and we do know the Lord, and I thank you for stopping. And I didn't discuss doctrine with him. I know we probably would have clashed somewhere along the line, but it was good to know that somebody was concerned in the community and in the area, and people listened. So here tonight, I want to look, if you would, take with me your Bible. Turn to the first book of Samuel, chapter 27. 1 Samuel 27, and I'm going to read there a little bit. Yeah, this night's working good tonight. Huh? Sounds good. Got a little liberty here. If I look like I'm stuffed in this shirt, you're right. I don't know what's wrong. They're not making shirts like they used to. 17 just don't do it anymore, brother. I don't know. My wife said it's beginning to look like Homer Smith.
Homer's, there must be from Homer's belt to, you know, his shoulders must be about 5 foot.
I mean, if you go over the curves, we kid about it. If we see him, we kid about it. And my wife, you're getting to look more like Homer every day. And I said, well, I hope I don't, but there's sure something wrong with these shirts. They're just not making them like they used to. Might be them biscuits and gravy. I don't know. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27. Verse 1, let me read down through here. Last night we preached, brought the message God laid on our heart. And again tonight, this message was burdening me a little bit this week. Last week it bothered me a little bit. And I looked and looked and looked and done some praying this morning and some searching and some soul searching. And I believe this is what God would have me to preach tonight. I know this is the second night of the meeting. But nonetheless, let's look at it and see what God has for us. Tonight, if we come in here with our eyes open looking for something from God, I believe God will show us, get us on the right road tonight. And when we go out of here, we can say it's been good to be in the house of God, around God's people, and around the Word of God. Verse 1, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David rose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the sons of Maok, king of Gath. Now, if you've never heard these names pronounced like I'm going to pronounce them tonight, I'm sorry. I'm from down home, and we say things different down there, you know, y'all.
I won't apologize. You just follow along. You'll have to read real close so we don't get any of these wrong.
David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? And Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertained unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezerite and the Amalekite, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, whether have ye made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah and against the south of the Jeremelites, against the south of the Kenite. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tiding to Gath, saying, least they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever. Shall we pray? Lord, we bow in your presence and pray tonight, and God, as I bow, I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me, forgive me, and Lord, fill me afresh with your Spirit. God, as I pray, I realize tonight that, God, I don't have the ability to bring a message, Lord, that you could even use. But God, tonight, if you would use my mouth and my lips and my heart and my spirit for your glory and honor, Lord, this job and this business of preaching, God, which is your design, God, will be what you see fit tonight. Lord, bless each person, each individual, each child, each mother, each father, each person that has come tonight, God, suit a blessing to their heart and soul. And Lord, my heart goes out to the sinner, Father, to the one that doesn't know you. And Lord, as we've prayed in days gone by for the salvation of sinners, we pray again tonight and ask God that, Lord, if it be your will, that you'd save that soul that's closest to hell tonight. Well, don't let them escape. Don't let them get away from here without calling on your name and without coming to know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, bless the preaching tonight. Bless what's said and done. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. I have read this chapter 27 in 1 Samuel because it contains a verse that I want to preach from tonight. And I wanted you to have a little of the setting, know a little of what was going on. And I'm not going to try to expound the doctrinal meetings, all that are here. I'm going to do what comes natural for me. I'm going to just get on that verse over there and preach on it and just kind of see what God does tonight. Amen. He may skin my hide, I don't know, but verse 10 is my text. And the subject for the message tonight is, whether have you made a road today? Achish the king, he asked David, when David come back, he says, whether have ye made a road today? And David, of course, answered. But I want to ask you the question tonight, and would like the Lord to ask you the question tonight, whether have ye made a road today? And that verse can speak to you tonight. That verse can ask you a question that demands an answer. And this preacher tonight can get out of here without hearing your answer. But maybe tonight God wants an answer as he asks, whether have ye made a road today? And I want to preach a little while on this tonight. And when we say this, we know that the word road shows up in the Word of God only one time. It's mentioned one time in the Word of God. Now, as we look at this and study this, it has a distinct characteristic, and it makes one notice the use of the word, and it causes one to study the meaning and why the word is used the way it is. And I know that maybe the commentaries aren't going to back me up, but in the best way that I know how, and when I look into the Word of God and study, and I can't find a word any other place but in one place, it's important to me. That's always been important to me. When I find a word for the first time in the Scriptures, it's important to me. When I find a word one time, it's important to me. When I find a word a bunch of times, that's important to me. For a simple person like me, those little things are important. And I get on those things, and I preach on those things, and then God blesses those things. So tonight, I want to preach to you just a little while about this road. Whether had ye made a road today? There are some sayings that we can identify with. Let me say this. You've heard some of these phrases, and you're going to know some more when you hear me say a couple of these things. Have you ever heard this? Ah, he took the easy road. You ever heard that? Ever heard anybody say, well, they just took the easy road? Sure, you've heard that. I've heard it too. What about this one? He's a road runner. Sure, you've heard that. You've heard and seen the cartoon of the Road Runner. One of my favorites, by the way. I love that cartoon channel, brother. Amen. I mean, the rest of that stuff, it grieves and vexes my soul. Some of the cartoons do. But I got to watch it. I told them tonight they turned that thing. I said, turn that off. I got to preach tonight. If I look at that, man, I will be bonkers. I mean, zombie out. But you've heard that. He's a road runner. How about this one? Well, they're on the road to recovery. You ever heard that? Sure you have. Somebody says, well, how are they doing? Well, I hear they're on the road to recovery. That's just the terminology and a phrase that we use and we associate with. How about this? You're driving in. Ben, I probably said this today once. You've got traffic, man. Terrible up here. I'm not used to all the traffic. And I'm used to Cincinnati. I mean, they get around these malls and they're crazy. I was saying today, he's a road hog. I know you've said that one. I mean, a little of a horn boy and they just whip it over and keep on going and they've got the whole road. You say, what is that? He's a road hog. Well, how about this one? He took the hard road. I tried to tell him. We warned him. They took the hard road. I know you've heard that phrase. You've probably used it before when talking to someone. Maybe you've given advice. You said, man, don't go that way. That's the hard way. That's the hard road. That's the hard road. Don't go down that road. How about this one? He's on the wrong road now. I know you've heard that one. You just don't realize how many times you hear these things and you use these things. He's on the wrong road now. And we could go on and on. How about not only the wrong road, but he's on the right road. Say, man, bless the Lord. They got on the right road last night, and bless the Lord. We're looking for them to do great things for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're on the right road tonight. I know that's simple, but I want to use it tonight to apply the message to your heart. And as I thought about those things, there's a phrase that showed up down at work, son, and maybe some of you fellows have heard this, maybe some of the ladies, and that's when... you hear somebody's going to get the pink slip, and they got this thing out, you know, and they carry it around their pocket with a check clapped to it, and they say, well, he's down the road today. That means he's fired. We used to say it all the time, any union workers around here. Yep, down the road today, we're going to pink slip him, he's gone, and I've heard that quite a bit. But tonight, I want to preach a little bit on the roads. And if I thought about this and thought about this old Bible and the fact that the word road was mentioned one time, and that old king asked David, have you made a road today? And David, of course, gives an answer. But the question is to you and I. And you know, in my hand here, I've got a road map, if you please. You've heard it called that. I used to sing an old song called I'm Using My Bible for a Road Map. And you know, it is a road map today. And I'll tell you, when I think about a road map or an atlas, it's very helpful when trying to get someplace you've never been before. It keeps you from getting lost. Amen. It'll keep you from getting lost. It keeps you from wasting time. It gives you proper direction. And this old book tonight will never lead you wrong. It's not too hard to understand that to get through this life, you need some direction. I mean, you don't have to live too long to figure out that, listen, if I keep going the way I'm going without any direction, I don't know where I'm going to end up. I got to get on the right road here someplace and get things straightened out and get going here for the Lord. And listen tonight, I want you to, I want this question to be bouncing off of the caverns of your brain, if you please, tonight. Whether have ye made a road today? And when I think about the direction that life may take a lot of people, I would like to give direction to a lot of people. It is also true that this Bible is a road map and will lead you every step of the way. I'm sure tonight that some of you are on the right road. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe you're doing what God wants you to do. But as sure as I stand here tonight as a preacher of the Word of God, I'm sure there's somebody tonight that's possibly on the wrong road. Surely in a congregation of this size, someone is probably on the wrong road. Maybe somebody here tonight is standing at the crossroads. Maybe they're standing there and they've been going for the Lord, and they've come along to a place where the road splits off that way and one goes the other way. And brother, they don't know exactly which way to go. And I suppose God had this preacher come here tonight to make you check the signs along the way, to make you pull her over and look into the road atlas that God has left with us, so you don't make the wrong turn and get on the wrong road and find yourself down someplace lost, tangled up in sin, all kinds of problems and trouble. Listen, you can't afford to get on the wrong road tonight. Let me ask you, whether have you made a road today? Tonight, David said this in Psalms 119:5, and we sang about it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And tonight, as I think about that, this word plays a major role in what road you're found on. I put a sign up out in front of my church. One of them flashing signs with a big arrow on it. We're right on a major road. And I put up there, sin will keep you from the Word of God. And on the other side, I put on there, the Word of God will keep you from sin. And I pulled into the Shell station one day uptown, and the guy come out there and said, preacher, what do you want? I said, fill her up. He says, all right. And he began to fill her up, and he began to talk to me. He said, you know, I've seen your sign. I said, you did? He said, I sure did. And he said, you know what? I'm on the wrong road. I said, I know you're on the wrong road. Why don't you get on the right road? He said, you know why I'm on the wrong road? I said, no, you tell me why. I knew why he was. He said, because I don't have any time in my life
for the Word of God. If you don't have time for the Word of God, you don't have time for God. If you don't have time for God, you don't have time for the house of God. If you don't have time for the house of God, my friend, you are on the wrong road, going the wrong way, and you need to stop and get on the right road tonight. Now, listen to me. Everybody is going somewhere. You say, boy, that's deep. That's how deep I am. I'm not real deep. Everybody is going somewhere. Just like somebody said, everybody has to be somewhere. Okay, that's great. That's right. You're here tonight. Amen. Everybody is going somewhere. Some of you need to pull over and check the map. You don't have to check with me. You don't have to check with this pastor. It wouldn't hurt you none. But we have a higher authority. We have a higher standard. We have a book that God has left us. We're Bible believers. The only problem with being a Bible believer is most people don't believe the Bible. Amen. Or they want to wave the flag and say, bless the Lord, I'm a Bible believer. Listen, that's about all. Just in word. All this bunch running around claiming to be Bible believers. Listen, if they believed the book, they'd be turning the world upside down. They did it in Paul's day. They did it in revival day. They did it in other days. But we today, we're not doing it. Say, why, preacher? Well, you tell me. Whether have ye made a road today? I'm going to talk about three or four roads here tonight. Real simple. But I want them to be simple because I want you to think. I don't want it to be too simple that you think I'm not talking to you, because listen, when I preach, I'm a personal kind of guy. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. I'm not sailing it over your head. I'm talking to you tonight. Number one, I want to talk about the easy road. Some people have taken the easy road. You know, when I think about this, I think about that boy in Luke 15. Do you remember the story about verse 12 and 13 where it says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I'm talking about the story found in the book of Luke that we know as the story of the prodigal son. And it looks to me like this son, he wanted to get on the easy road. He wanted the easy street. You've heard the phrase and probably used the terminology. Listen, I believe there's a lot of God's people on the easy road tonight. Yeah, they're saved. Yeah, they know the Lord. Someplace back along the line, they come and call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord saved them. But I'll tell you what, they got tired of the trials and tribulation. They got tired of the struggle and the affliction. They got tired of the weight and the burden. And listen, they got on the easy road. And brother, they've just gone with the world and kind of gone with the flow. Anybody can get on the easy road. Anybody can go the world's way. Anybody can have it easy if they want it. But listen, that's not the place for God's Christians tonight. The easy road has never been the way for the child of God. The easy road. Smooth sailing for a while. Bright lights. Life in the fast lane, if you please. It's the world's road. It's the liberal's road. I tell you, somebody asked me the other day, well, what are you? And this man was a lost man. And he's lost Catholic. And he said, and he's an influential person, a businessman who has done quite well. He says, I want to know what you are. I said, well, what are you talking about? He says, are you a liberal, a conservative? Well, what are you? I said, number one, I'm a saved, born-again Christian, and I'm not a liberal. I am sure not. I don't go along with the liberal terminology. He says, in other words, you're not going to go with the flow. I said, that's absolutely right. Matter of fact, I've been kind of guilty of rubbing the cap the wrong way. Seems like ever since God called me to preach.
And it seems like everywhere I go, somebody gets upset. I don't know why. I don't want people to get upset. I want people to like me. I want people to like the Lord. I want people to fall in love with God and serve God. But I'm here to tell you, listen, serving God isn't necessarily easy tonight. And if you're on the easy road and you're not carrying a burden and you're not carrying the load, you're on the wrong road tonight. And listen, whether it's have you made a road today? Have you made any inroads in for the glory of God? People just get tired of serving God. You say, why? Well, I'll tell you what. I believe it's just sin. I'm not going to change what I believe tonight because I'm here, Bible Believers Baptist Church. If I was down home and somebody said, well, why do you think people just kind of lay down on God? I'll tell you why. Sin. It's sin. People say, you can't say that. Sure I can. It may be anything from A to Z, but when you boil it all down and run it through the distillery, it comes out the other end, sin. And brother, sin will put you on the wrong road. People's got every kind of excuse under the sun why they can't serve God. What's going on? Listen, I'll tell you, I just get so sick of the excuses, so tired of listening to what people tell me. It's hard to smile anymore when somebody says, well, preacher, I just don't have time to be out. You know what? I drive 80 miles one way to work as the norm. Turn around and drive 80 miles back the end of the day. Every day. And when I get there, I work like I didn't have good sense. Because, listen, I still believe in the old American way, and I have a work ethic, and I believe you ought to apply yourself and give and do it as unto the Lord. American doesn't think that way anymore. They're on the easy road, the road to pleasure, and most Christians are following right along behind. Last year, we started our own business. And I'll tell you why, because I just got sick and tired of the no-account American help I was getting down out of the Union Hall. Now, I know you can fall out with me if you want to. We're in big Union City up here and all that. But I'll tell you what, I pulled out. And it wasn't because I couldn't keep a job. I had a job. And some of them old guys sitting down on the bench, they was mad all the time because I would work. They say, hey, you're making us look bad. You come in here and run them jobs and do all this and set it all up and you work. Why do you do that? I say, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. And I got out of there and I quit last year. My boy quit. We started for ourselves. And it hadn't been no easy road. We've worked and worked and drove home. And there's been plenty of times when I got home, my wife meet me at the door. She say, your clothes is hanging in the bathroom. I've got a clean towel and a wash rag there. Get a shower. She says, I'm already ready. We've got to go to Indianapolis to the hospital, 95 miles away. And I know then that I'm not going to get home. So after maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock at night. You know what we do? I don't sit down and say, well, I just can't. I've worked too hard today. I jump in my car, and I drive to Indianapolis, and I sit at the bed of somebody that's sick and pray till I feel God would have me go. And I come back home, and I get up at 4:30 the next morning and get my work clothes on and get in my truck, and I go back to work. And I work 8 hours, and I don't mean no little. I mean I work. We climb scaffold up on top of buildings and back down. We carry mud in buckets and trowel it on the wall. I'm talking about physical labor. Not that mental gymnastics isn't hard on you. But I tell you what. When somebody comes to me Sunday morning at the door and I'm standing back there after having worked 5 and 6 days, been to the hospital twice that week, made visitation, I made prayer meeting, and then had special prayer, and was at the work day Saturday afternoon, and then stayed up late Saturday night and got up at 4 o'clock Sunday morning in my study down at the church trying to get a message together and then draw a picture every Sunday night and bring a message. Listen, and somebody tells me going out, well, preacher, I'm just too busy. They're on the wrong road. You must tell this country, boy, they're on the wrong road. The easy road. The easy road. Most people would rather take the easy road, the road of least resistance. I hope you don't take the easy road tonight. The road to compromise. Compromising on the Word of God. Every time I look around, I see another brother compromising on the Word of God. Every time I look around, I see somebody compromising on separation. Brother, they've dropped the standards. Every time I look around, somebody's compromising on sin. What used to be sin isn't sin anymore, and they're doing it and enjoying it themselves. They've taken the easy road because too many people have said, too long, too hard. Listen, my Bible still says the way of the transgressor is hard. And listen, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. He's talking about those people that will come unto me. He says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. Listen, God makes a way for those that will follow on His road. Say, well, Brother Phil, you'd have to live by faith. We're supposed to be living by faith. I know all about living by faith. I don't know all that I could know, but I'll tell you what, I know something about living by faith. I know that our God is able. Brother, He'll make a way if you want to serve Him tonight. Let me talk about the hard road just a minute. Now, this is a simple message, but I want it to apply. Wherein have you made a road today? The hard road? Maybe it is the road of suffering. Take a minute with you, if you would, and read in 2 Corinthians. And I had some things written down here, but we'll just take what God gives us. 2 Corinthians 11, and I'll read a couple of verses. The Apostle Paul, my hero here. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundantly in stripes above measure, in prisons, more frequent in death off. He was a laborer. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hungers and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul had something on him. If anybody was on a hard road, it was the Apostle Paul. But most Christians don't want a burden. Most Christians don't want a load. Most Christians don't want any persecution. Most Christians don't want any affliction. Listen, my friend, if you're in the battle tonight, if you're saved tonight, persecution, affliction, and all the trouble and all the trials, they come along with serving God tonight. I'm sorry to report that unto you, but it's gospel truth. It comes along with it. You know, somehow that hard road isn't as hard as the world makes it out to be. All the world looks back and says, if that's Christianity, I don't think I want it. But bless the Lord, the grace that Paul found a few verses later. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. There's a little old lady in our church. I was telling the pastor about her the other day. And her name is Miss Elma Boone. Oh, she would just wilt with embarrassment if she knew I was talking about her tonight. But bless her old heart, she's a saint of God. She's high up in her 80s. She has one arm. And I told you about her last night a little bit, but I'll tell you, that's one woman that has been through literal hell on earth. And brother, she's still serving God. She told me one time I got out of church for about 6 weeks. Been in church 42 years. Been out 6 weeks. Some people depart and you couldn't find them with a search warrant. I said, how come you just stay out 6 weeks? She said, I was really backslid. I said, you were? She said, I just got sick of everything that was going on. They was fussing down at the church, but God got to convicting me, saying that I had a pew up there I needed to be setting in. No matter what they did, I needed to be faithful to God and to the house of God and to the Word of God. And she said, you know what I did? I put on my Sunday clothes and I come on back out to church, and I may not have agreed with everything that was going on, but I was faithful with God. I agreed with God. I agreed with the Word of God. And she said, for 42 years I've served God. That's a blessing to my heart. Here's a man been saved 31 years. 43 years old, been serving God for 17 or 18 years, preaching the Word of God. Brother, that's a drop in a bucket to what that lady's done. After she lost her arm, she bore two more children. One of them severely retarded. A mongoloid boy who still lives with her. Daryl's his name. And bless the Lord, Daryl's my amen. Such and such over here to the left. And Daryl weighs about 400 pounds. Bless his heart. We have a birthday party for him every year. He wants one every month. He likes that cake. He sit down in the pew over there and a pew pop. Oh, it broke. He says, Brother Gabriel, he hits that pew. And he can't talk real good, you know. And he's a blessing. And I said, well, let's move up one. I'll get her fixed. And he generally checks with me every time he comes in. He'll come and look at that pew, make sure, see if it's fixed yet. But this lady has taken care of him. He's lived way beyond his life expectation. How old is he? 27? 30. He's lived about 10 years longer than he should have lived. He's 30-something years old. And you know, they come in there and sit down. Those kind of people are a blessing to a preacher's heart. Those kind of people, although the road has been rough, although the road has been rocky, although the road has been hard for all practical purposes, although the world has glanced over in their direction and said, hey, those people are sure having a hard way to go. Listen, she said, God's grace is sufficient. And I'm still serving God today. Put me under conviction. I was sitting there talking to her the other night. And she said, you know, preacher, she said, used to be when we'd have revival meetings, she said, we'd sit in our chair and preacher'd preach a couple nights and nothing had happened. I said, man, that's just about how it goes every night when I'm preaching, nothing happens. And then she kept on talking. She said, you know what we'd do? I said, no, I don't know what we'd do. Now, here's a person with no arms, can't hardly make it. Her husband's making $6 a week because she said my husband was a simple-minded man. And she said he never really had a real job. He just worked for farmers around and stuff like that. And she said, we were poor. Now, here's a woman talking spiritual. She said, you know what we'd do? I said, no. She said, we'd call a special prayer meeting. I said, a special prayer meeting? What'd you do? She said, we'd meet together in the middle of the day, and we'd pray that God would start saving sinners. I said, just pray that God would save sinners. She said, yeah. And somebody would get saved and the meeting kind of open up. And we'd see four or five get saved that week. Maybe 15 or 20. She says, one time there was 61 people saved. And we baptized all 61 of them down in the river and brought me a picture the next week to show it to me. And I'm thinking, oh my soul. Some people today is quitting on God. And these old saints have walked a harder road than we've ever had to walk. And brother, we look over at them and we say, it's too hard for me, listen. I want to learn how to walk on the road she walked on. I want to learn how to walk like the Apostle Paul walked. Brother, listen, he's not complaining about what happened to him. He's not paranoid and thinking everybody's against him. He doesn't feel like somebody's taking advantage of him and beating him up. He doesn't even feel like he's anybody. He's just saying, look here. I've endured some things, and God's grace is sufficient. And it makes that hard road that the world calls hard a little easier to walk and draw. Wherein have ye made a road today? Yes, they're suffering. All that live godly shall suffer persecution. Yes, there are trials. You know, when you think about walking on life's road, you think about the road Jesus trod up Calvary Hill. He didn't stop because it was hard. He didn't stop because of an uphill climb. He didn't stop because they beat him to a pulp. He didn't stop because he couldn't bear the cross. Listen, he marched every way, took every step, and hung on Calvary's tree. He walked Calvary's road for me. If he can walk Calvary's road, surely I can walk this road for the Lord. You say, I've heard it 100 times. Well, think about the Jericho road. Jesus walked down the Jericho Road one day. That was a cursed city. But he went on down to the Jericho Road, and there was a blind man sitting there. And we preached a little about it last night. And Jesus healed the blind man. Listen, if he hadn't been willing to walk on that road that led to that cursed city, my friend, listen, somebody wouldn't have got saved. Tonight now, you know, there's a lot of places he went. Brother He said, needs be I go to Samaria. And he was walking the old dusty trail going to Samaria. John chapter 4, over in there, Jesus walking on the Samaritan road, and them disciples and them apostles, they're trying to figure out, why are we going to Samaria? And listen, we don't have any dealings with those people. And then Jesus said, listen, needs be I go through Samaria. And although that road was not a road that people liked to walk on, especially a Jew, Jesus was found walking on that road. And it led to the conversion of a sinner woman who ran into the city and won others to the Lord Jesus Christ. If he had not have trod that road, she'd have never been saved, maybe. Those folks would have never come to know the Lord. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you could follow the road by where Jesus walked, and every place that he went, my friend, listen, I think it might make the road that you're on today a little brighter. Paul learned in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 9, and I quoted part of it, that God's grace is sufficient. Let me talk for a minute about the right road tonight.
Take and look with me, if you would, in Luke 34. And let's get on the right road tonight. Say, preacher, I'm on the right road. Then this ain't going to hurt you a bit. Say, well, I don't know where I'm at. It might just help you tonight. Well, I know I'm on the wrong road. I know it'll help you tonight. Luke chapter 34, let me give you a passage. I'm sorry, 24, Luke 24. And I need verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. This is the Emmaus road. They went to that village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. That's probably about 7.5 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You know, they're on this road going to Emmaus. And I just can't help but believe they're on the right road, because Jesus joins himself with them. And he says here, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And then the scriptures say, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And listen, Jesus is just kind of feeling them out there, and they don't even know who he is, and he's walking with them. And I'll tell you what, bless their hearts, they're on the right road, amen. Any road you're on and Jesus walking with you, let me tell you something, that's the right road, amen. Brother, if you're out there walking around someplace tumbling in the dark and you don't know where Jesus is at and you're trying to figure out what went wrong, listen, you're on the wrong road. Get on the right road. The right road is where Jesus joins himself to you and walks with you. And I want you to watch what unfolds when they get on the right road. Look in verse 31. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Oh, my friend, tonight, if you could walk along, and your eyes were opened, and you would know the Lord. He says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And listen, they weren't left helpless. They weren't left stranded. They weren't left detoured. They weren't left on the wrong road. Listen, the scripture says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? Listen, those people had had a revival. Something happened down in their soul. Their heart was burning over the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they walked on the right road, the road with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Emmaus Road was the right road for them that day. Let me ask you something. You've walked some road today. I've asked you none less than 6 times tonight. Whether have you made a road today? You have gone someplace today. You have walked from one point to another. You have driven, you have gotten in your automobile and driven someplace. You have done something, you have gone someplace. Let me ask you, did the Lord accompany you today on your road. Oh, preacher, I don't know, man. You know, I don't even remember. You're on the wrong road. Say, well, you mean every place I go, the Lord needs to be there with me? Every place you go. If you go to work, the Lord needs to go with you. If you go to the grocery store, the Lord needs to go with you. If you go down, where did we go today? I don't know, Amish village, somewhere. The Lord needs to go with you. You say, every place for the child of God, if you're going to be found on the right road, Jesus needs to be found with you. The right road may not be the Emmaus road for you. It's the road that Jesus is found with you on. Paul, it was the Damascus road. That was the right road for Paul that day. You know, tonight, you come to church, maybe you don't exactly know why you came. Maybe you came because you thought, well, I'll go hear the singing and maybe listen to the preacher and we'll just go on home. Listen, you're in the right place, you're on the right trail today because the Lord is here. He wants to speak to you if you're having trouble along the way. You see, it's awful easy to get off the right road. Are you listening? It's awful easy to take a detour and run a road right along the road, but not quite in the road. Listen, Jesus wants you on the right road. Now let me say this as I try to close tonight. The right road is a road of fellowship with the Lord. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You can tell. I've seen it. I pastor. People say they're there, but they're not in fellowship with God. They're walking on the wrong road. You know, around the Word, fellowship. David loved the Word of God and he said, in thy law I meditate day and night. He's on the right road. A love for the Word of God. Around God's people, a love for the brethren. If you love God's people, love to be around them. No animosity. And there shouldn't be. No, I don't have any animosity, no strife for anyone tonight. And God knows, I guess we've been booted out once. I could hold a few grudges, but I don't. I do not. Ladies there, I've got Miss Boone and Miss Martha there at the church. Miss Martha Fountain. She's been there just about the same amount of time, maybe 40 years. She said, Brother Gabbert, we have done nothing but fight. The 40 years we've been there, no preacher stayed over 7 years in 42 years. She said, this church was run by the deacon, the deacons, and the women. She said, never can I remember a time when you could come into this place and there wasn't some kind of strife and some kind of animosity. They were on the wrong road. Is it any wonder? Up and down, up and down. You know, I was reading back in the old minutes in May the 11th, 1961. They had a clock on the wall to my right. And they brought it up in the business meeting that that clock was a nuisance to all the people in the services. And everybody kept watching that clock. And they brought it up and discussed it and made a motion to take that clock and put it on the back wall because there were too many people watching the clock and not watching the preacher. And I asked Miss Boone about that. I said, Miss Boone, do you remember in May the 11th, 1961, she said, no. I said, well, they had a business meeting, according to the record, and they voted on it. And it sounded like they had a pretty good discussion about this. Oh, she said they did. They got in a real argument about that clock. I mean, after all, the ladies of the church had put it up there, and now they was wanting to move it, and they didn't want that. And listen, she said it was just chaos and animosity. You say, what was wrong? They were on the wrong road. Miss Fount says, doesn't matter now. They're dead and gone. Some old ladies are saints, I'll tell you. Miss Boone told me this is a blessing to me.
said, this is the first time in 42 years that I can ever remember that there's no animosity or strife in our congregation. She said, we may not have a lot of people, but I'll tell you what, everybody's in harmony. We all love one another. There's no cliques. There's no mess. You say, why, preacher? Everybody's on the right road. That's why. Why? Everybody's somewhere tonight. Last point. The road to recovery. Thank the Lord. Hebrews 11, and I gotta read it. I can't remember this one. Hebrews 11, 13. I've got it marked. This is the road to recovery, and I guess it's the right road tonight. Anybody's on the wrong road. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now they were on the right road. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Therefore, God, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. And brother, we're talking about some people that was seeking a better country. Listen. They were on the road to recovery. They never found the city, but they're in a better city tonight. And the best way for anybody to get on the road to recovery, I think, is to set their affection on things above and not on things of this world. Brother, the more you think and dwell upon the things of this world, brother, the farther back you slide and the farther off course you go, and you'll find yourself on some little goat path down someplace in a desolate place and destitute, trying to figure out, what am I doing down here? If you just keep your mind set on heaven, get on the road to recovery. You'll be on the road to recovery. And it won't be long. You'll be mainstreaming right along with everybody else, right where you need to be. On the right road. Abraham, he was minding God. He was believing God. That put him on the right road. It's your road. If it's just a little rocky and rough today, pull over and check this whole road map out. Get on the right road. It will put you on the right road. It'll get you to heaven if you believe it. If you're lost tonight, I know you're on the wrong road. You're on the road of sin, and you need to stop and listen to the Word of God and let the Lord set you right and put you right on the right road, the road to heaven tonight. And only God can do that. If you're out of the will of God, you know right where you took the detour. Say, oh, Brother Phil, I don't know what went wrong. You know exactly what went wrong. It might have been one word. It might have been one little thing. But you remember when that thing flared up there, and brother, you pulled her off and went down the side road, and you've been off so long, it's time. Let God put you on the right road tonight. Tonight, the road to recovery is a road of faith. Get on the right road, and there'll be grace. Say, preacher, I just can't do it. Listen, you'll step out by faith. That's what it's all about. That's our life. That's our salvation. That's our Bible. That's God's plan. It's impossible to please Him without faith. Listen, the right road is a road of faith tonight. And if you'll step out by faith, God will give you the grace to stay right in step with everybody else. And that road will take you right on out of here to glory. Amen. Jesus took the right road. Then a lot of people standing in the crossroads. Let me ask you what Achish asked David. Whither have you made a road today that stands for word of prayer?